Our first speaker tonight will be a very, very good friend, kind of a scoundrel. Doesn't treat me good when I'm in Georgia. If it wasn't for Faye, I probably would get nothing to eat. He put me over in an apartment where I have to do my own plumbing. Where last year he turned the hot water heater off, so I had no hot water. Sure enough. Okay. But I love him anyway. Our next speaker will be Brother Reggie Moore from Popwellville, Georgia, preaching on hating false doctrine.
This thing's holding me up, you ready?
If it holds you up, I guess it will me.
I'm going to take a moment and recognize some folks that came with me. Be all right?
Yeah, be all right.
All the members of Solid Grace Baptist Church in Popwellville, which Georgia, would you stand? I don't hope to see who came with. This is over half of the church. I tell you what, they're faithful. They love the Lord. They love the Lord's church. And I sort of think they love the pastor. They wouldn't have came with him. And I want to know, I appreciate it.
I thought it was because they love this pastor.
No,
that's not it.
I persuaded them not to do that.
Okay. So I haven't even started your clock yet, Reggie. That's what good buddies we are. I haven't even started the clock yet.
Well,
go ahead. I'm going to start it. You open your Bible, say your first word.
What?
You better fix it. When you open your Bible, say your first word. I'll start the clock.
So that don't say nothing. All right. It's good to be back. Bible Poppers. It's been a long time since I've been here. I think about 2004, and it's good to be back, and it's good to be around the Lord's people, and all the fellowship we have one with another. Y'all, that's good singing. Brother singing that Charles the King, thinking I'm my heir. My father's the king, and I'm his son. Tell you what, doesn't get any better than that.
Man.
Being the son of the king.
Right. Yeah.
My subject, I think, I'm not sure, because he told me one thing on the phone, and then when the schedule came out, it was something else. You told me on the phone was the subject was why I hate false doctrine. When it comes out in the schedule, it's just hating false doctrine. Now, there's been... No, both for it. Things are back there.
Okay, his subject is why I hate false doctrine.
You're the pastor. No, sir. You don't part it off on somebody else. You folks live away from me. I don't know if any of you do. But if you live away from me, you ever call him, don't expect your conversation to last very long. Especially if he's out on the golf course. He says, wait a minute, I'll have to call you back. Somebody just came in. I don't know what that has to do with anything. You're talking to me, you just don't say that's it. I'll call you later. And I sit there and hang on the phone and wait and wait. No call later. It might be months before he gets around to calling you back. He knows it, too. No, he's a good friend and a brother in Christ, one of my dearest and best friends. His dad was my dearest and best friend. And now one of his sons is, and the other one's fast getting that way. Where's Marcus? I know he's him. All right. Okay, brother. I have a lot of fellowship with those two. Okay, take your Bible. Turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 2. Revelation, chapter 2. And verse 15. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. You hear that? that's a strange thing to be saying today. In this day of love, you know. We love everybody and we love everything. And, you know. I mean, y'all love lost souls. There's no doubt about that. Y'all love your brother and sister in Christ. But I think we need to learn how to hate, too. Hate false doctrine. I tell you, it's tearing some of our churches apart. Once it gets in and the church doesn't do something about it, and it just sits there and festers, and it won't be before long, the church will just be accepting it. It'll just be all right, you know. God help us.
Amen.
To stand up and be faithful to the Lord and hate false doctrine. There's so much of it around. I don't have time to touch on much of any of it. But I just want you to notice what's said in that verse. And we're going to come back to it in just a little bit. But Jesus said, he's speaking to the Apostle John, you write these letters to the churches. And he says in that verse 15, this church at Pergamos, so hast thou also them that hold, notice what it said, that hold, look, it's already got a foothold in the church. And they're holding this doctrine now, this false doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which the Lord hates. Now, don't ask me what the false doctrine of the Nicolaitans was. I don't know. I've tried to find out. I've read behind some of the, I guess, the best writers, Matthew Henry and all the rest of them, Brother B.H. Cowell. And nobody seems to have an answer as to what it is. The Lord didn't say it, and I think maybe if he'd wanted us to know, he would have said it. So I'll just leave it at that. That it's a doctrine, whatever it was, that the Lord hates. I want you to think about what he said. Which I hate. I hate. Don't you reckon if the Lord hates false doctrine, you ought to also hate false doctrine? And isn't it sin if you don't hate false doctrine and the Lord does and he says for you to, or then he does hate it? Don't you think it would be sin if you don't hate that false doctrine? We don't ever think about it, you know. A lot of times thought, what? Excuse me, I got to get rid of this thing. I just lay it back down there. They hate this false doctrine in the church at Pergamos. Now, they had a lot of problems. I know that. But I think a lot of the problems they had were a result of letting this false doctrine get into the church. It's not enough to get into the religious community, but to get in the Lord's church. Oh my. You know, I'm so thankful the Lord called me to preach. And he called me to pastor. And I'm like your daddy. I don't understand how the Lord calls a man to preach when he doesn't call him to pastor. I think everyone that the Lord calls to preach ought to be pastor in some way. Somebody told me, I don't know who it was. I can't even remember who it was. Now, somebody told me there was something like 57 churches. I'm talking about the Lord's churches that don't have pastors around the country. And we got pastors that's not pastors. I'm preachers that's not pastors. We need preachers that will get there and speak the truth and know when false doctrine is being proclaimed in the church. I mean, it's not just going to come in all dressed up in red, white, and blue. It's one of these things that somebody, and especially today, a lot of our members today in our churches come from other religious denominations, don't they? And some of the things that they bring with them is false. It's false teaching. And they ought not to be proclaiming. Listen, when you join the Baptist church, when you join the Lord's church, all of everything that you ever learned, you ought to leave it. Let it die on you. All right. That's all right. I don't need it anyway. It bothers me standing there. But we ought to leave what you learned before in whatever church or denomination you came out of. Leave it there. When you come to a Baptist church, the doctrine is different. A lot of what you learned in the church where you was false. And you know it. Or you ought to. And you ought to leave it behind. Because the Lord hates false doctrine. Campbellites have a false doctrine. That's right. Now, I can't hardly abide being around Campbellites. They're the most arrogant people I ever run into in my life. But if we just set this thing out, that'd be fine. All right. This doctrine that they have, that you meet the blood in the waters of baptism, is a false doctrine. There's no blood in the water. And baptism has nothing to do whatsoever with salvation. So what they teach is false, and you ought to leave it alone. Stay away from it. Don't be in inviting them over to your church and begin to speak and to proclaim their false doctrine, their instruction, their teaching. Leave it alone. The hard shells have a false doctrine. I pass one every time I go to Brunswick down the old Jessup Highway. There's one sitting off the side of the road. I never see anything going on. You know why? Because there's nothing going on. They don't believe in preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, why go preach the gospel when you've been elected of God, so therefore you're going to be saved anyway? Listen, that's false. Now, I assure you that everyone that God elected to salvation, they're right, he's going to be saved. But he's going to be saved through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and what they believe and what they proclaim is false. Even though I look to him a lot of times. Well, I don't listen to him, but I have in the past. They're good on the sovereignty of God. But they don't know the first thing about salvation. That's a false doctrine. So you ought not have it come to your church, get involved in your church. Okay. And I know this is going to really hit home, and I don't mean to hurt feelings or nothing, you know. I wouldn't do that for anything in the world. Well, I might, but I don't intend to hurt feelings intentionally. But sometimes preaching this gospel of Jesus Christ and preaching the whole counsel of God, sometimes you step on people's feet, you know, and they get upset about it. But let me tell you something, folks. And I told him the same thing and he don't agree with me, that's all right. We were all born Armenian. Every one of us. We weren't born and just automatically believed the doctrines of Greeks. You know? And church truth. We didn't believe that. I didn't. Now, Armenianism has some truth in it. I was saved in an Armenian church. One of the great Armenian preachers of my time, Raymond Vaughn. And the church, the name of it was Hartford Furnace Baptist Church. That's a good name for a Baptist church, Furnace. Hartford Furnace. And brother, he could preach. He could preach on hell and make you feel like that is exactly where you were going. He could point that finger and talk to you or preach to you about hell. And you could just see the gates of hell opening up and you going down if you're lost. You're going down in that awful place. And that taught me as well. But a lot of this that the Armenian has is false. Okay? Now, I know that they teach because I used to. Okay? So I know what I'm talking about. That God needs help in getting you saved. You've got to help Him a little bit. Alright? I mean, you've got to make the decision for Jesus Christ for salvation. And even though the Holy Spirit is present, He can't save you if you don't want Him to. You can just resist Him and just go on, you know. Now, Armenians believe that, I guess, I'm not sure anymore, but I think maybe they probably believe in the book of Acts chapter 9 when the Apostle Paul was persecuting the Christians. And he was on the way to Damascus to persecute some more Christians. And he'd already been witness and I think took part in the stoning of Stephen when he was martyred. And they probably think that Paul, in reality, even though the Bible says what it says, Paul was really looking for the Lord Jesus Christ when he was going down the road to Damascus. He wanted to make a decision for Christ, you know. Listen, Paul hated the Lord Jesus Christ before the Lord saved him on that road to Damascus. He had no love for the Lord. And Paul was an educated man. Paul was a man that could think things through, you know. He was an intelligent person. And he knew all there was to know about the Lord, about God, you know. But he didn't know Jesus Christ. He really didn't know what the Bible teaches, even though he said it was some of the greatest theologians, I guess, of that day in his Judaism. But Paul was saved just the way you and I were saved. He was saved by grace through faith. But listen, they said, well, somebody said, well, Paul couldn't have been saved through the preaching of the gospel. He was on the road to Damascus. He hadn't heard any preaching. When he got there, when Stephen was preaching the gospel, huh? Didn't he hear the gospel proclaimed? Of course he did. And it was God's appointed time to save within Saul, to save him on the Damascus road. I believe personally that Paul come under great conviction when he was on the road to Damascus. And the Lord arrested him there on that road and brought him to salvation. I mean, I had no idea that I was going to be saved when I went to Harford Baptist Church, First Baptist Church. I didn't care anything about that religion. Going to church, it's just this landlady kept pestering me and the wife to go to church, and on it, you know, just kept on and on. Well, I can look back now and say I thank the Lord for that dear lady.
Amen.
That she kept on until I finally went to church and heard the gospel. Heard old Raymond Galt preach the gospel. And the Lord saved me. You know what? I've been saved ever since. I've got away from the Lord at times. And He's had to put a whipping on me. But I've never really got involved in false doctrine. You know, I haven't got up to my eyes in it. I tried my best to stay away from it to mourn our people and Solid Grace Baptist Church about false teachers and false prophets and how that they can come in unawares, you know. They pretend to be one thing and then before long this word that they have is getting out among the membership. And then somebody starting to believe. Maybe it might be that way. Be careful, Christian, about false doctrine. Your doctrine, and I heard some of these brothers speak on this already. I call it instantaneous churches. I don't know what it is, these campites. You know, and some of our folks went camping with them, and they ain't been back. They got out there and they believe this thing, that this doctrine, that you can just go out and I can baptize you, and then you can turn around and baptize this one, or you can turn around and baptize me, whatever. Because the scriptures say what two or three are gathered together, you know. And they use that as a doctrine of establishing or organizing a church. That's false. That's a false doctrine. Y'all hate it. I do. I hate it. My wife hates it worse than I do. She wrote letters to Wayne Camp about that false teaching and tried to get him to explain this scripture and that scripture. He never did write back. He didn't print it in his paper either, what she wrote. Now when she gets in her mind that something is false, you just can't get it out. She's going to keep on about it. You know? And I thank the Lord for her. She's sure been a blessing to me and encouragement and oftentimes a real strong influence on my Christian life. And I thank her for that. And I wish she could come, but she won't leave all those animals and those birds and whatever else she's got there. Now, look at 2 Peter, and I want to point this out, and then I want to come back to Revelation. In 2 Peter, chapter 2, Mary, when we get ready to leave, see if we can get this off and put it in the suitcase. Well, it's nice little light. All right. right, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Peter said, but there were false prophets also among the people. Do you hear that, Christian? In your churches, church members? Peter said there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be. Now he's talking about something in this future. Guess where we're living? In the future, aren't we? And there shall be false teachers among you who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So you see, false doctrine is because some false prophet went out and proclaimed that. That's how it became a doctrine. Somebody had to start it. Just like somebody started it in the church at Perkins. And it was a doctrine, and before long, it began to be accepted in the Lord's church. I can't understand how only the Lord does, how a church can still be a church of Jesus Christ and have false doctrine in it. But I leave that up to the Lord. I don't get involved, try not to do that. All I know to do is warn the Lord's people in His churches about the false prophets that come and the false teachers that come from other denominations and come into the Lord's church, and then they start proclaiming their untruth, which is false. All right? Now, we'll go back to Revelation, will you? I don't even know what time I got left. Don't make any difference, does it? Did you say I could preach as long as I wanted to? Isn't that what you told me? You did too. Well, I bet. Oh, well. Remember we read in the second chapter of Revelation, in verse 15. Let me read it for you again, then I want to point something else out. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. God help us to learn to hate. Hate false doctrine. You know, we try to get along with it and try not to say anything about it, and we don't want to offend anybody that might be in the church. I know the wife told me, I call her Mama, most of you know that. She calls me Daddy and I call her Mama because we had two little Yorkies, and when they wanted something, I tell them, go see Mama. And then she tell them, come back and see Daddy. So that's how, what we got. They've got to calling each other. But she's told me sometimes when I mentioned to her what I was going to preach maybe on some particular Sunday, and certain people was going to be there, she said, well, you better be careful. Don't preach that. I mean, you might not come back, you know. It's true, it might not come back. But I think we ought to preach it anyway. I'm like his daddy. When he was at Calvary. And some folks came and they were well-to-do. And they might be here now, I don't know. But they were even talking about, I think, coming into church. But they were hung up on this thing of Christmas, you know. I think that's another one of them things I want to hate myself. It's a false doctrine. But anyway, Joe said if I preach on Christmas, they're going to get upset and they won't come back. He said, well, that's the way it happened. I preached on it, and they didn't come back. So he didn't get those well-to-do church members, you know, to be members in his church at Calvary. But God help us to hate false doctrine. I mean, not just to brush it aside or just try not to say anything about it to offend anybody. But just speak out against it. Hate it. Now, the other church in Ephesus, I want you to listen of what happened over at Ephesus in verse 6. But this thou hast, Jesus said, that thou hatest, listen to the difference in these two churches. Both of them are Lord's churches. One of them holds to the false doctrine, and the other one hates the false doctrine. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitan, which thing I hate. The difference in the churches, the one of them stood up and said, no, we're not having it. They spoke out against it. And the Lord went on to say, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That's who he's talking to. That's who he's told John to write to. I think they're representative of the Lord's churches today. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. They will have a promise from the Lord. If we overcome, if we get stand against this false doctrine, that we'll be rewarded for our service to God. God help us to do so. And we thank you again for inviting us to come. It's been a pleasure. I've enjoyed all the fellowship, my good. Some of these brothers, I haven't seen some in a long time. And some of them look a lot older, too, you know. I don't, but I mean some of them do. Me and Brother Doug, I think, sorry to discuss that. And we look younger, don't we, Doug? All right. Thank you. God bless you, brother. Thank you.
Now, Reggie may get Bible going a couple minutes over.
I didn't go a couple minutes.
Oh, yeah, only a minute later.
A minute. Look at that, 1 minute.
But Reggie has me down to preach every year, so in the middle of the winter time, so that carries some weight.
Let's stand, turn to page 175 in your red hymnal, 175, Standing on the Promises.